The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. It is page 100 in the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. I will read the words. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town also was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Amen. And there is a story which goes like this. When going gets tough in life, a man pulls out his wife's picture from his wallet, and he thinks to himself, "I am able to live with a person like this. What can there be that I can't do in this world?" A woman also takes out a picture of her husband when life gets too hard to take a look. And she thinks to herself, "I made a human being out of this. What can there be that I can't do in this world?" It's a joke, but there's an aspect to it that tugs at our common understanding. A recent research by University of Michigan looked at depression that a person feels upon death of a spouse among people in Korea, the United States, England, European Union, and China. And the results say that the depression felt by Koreans is the most severe and long-lasting. Actually, across East and West and all ages, the feeling of loss and depression is probably greatest when one has to suffer the loss of a family member, a child, or a spouse. Today we meet through today's text a woman in deep mourning, feeling the utmost bereavement upon having lost her spouse, her husband, and then even her only son. The Lord ran into a funeral procession on his way with the disciples to a town called Nain as he came near the town gate. When we look at verse 12 about this funeral procession, it says, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. It says that the dead person is none other than the only son of a widow. The woman had raised her son, her only joy in life, after having lost her husband and being left alone, although she didn't have a lot. But now, even the son had died at a young age. It was not enough that she had to let go of her husband first. She also had to see her son die before her. Her life was tragic, where all hopes had been cut. She was passing through the peak of her life's tragedy. But the Lord focused on this woman who was crying in the funeral procession as it passed by. If we look at verse 13, it says, when the Lord saw her, it does not mean that he glanced at her as if he were passing her by, but regard her with attention. The most people want to avoid looking or turn their face the other way when they're confronted with a hard situation. Rather than regarding people who are living through lives that are tough and having concerns for them, most just pass them by. Because of this, people don't really see how these people live. Instead, most people's eyes are focused on successful people or people who can be of use to them. But which direction does the Lord's gaze take? The Lord is the Lord who seeks out and regards and focuses on people who are outside of the attention of others. People who are suffering, people who are sick, people who are failures, who are abandoned, and those who cry in secret. The Lord is the Lord who looks at them, focuses on them, and comes to them. Therefore, if we were to look around with the gaze of the Lord, we come to see people who we typically do not see, people who are living a life different from us. The Lord who looks at the widow is also the Lord who looks at us. It is not that our gaze first traveled to the Lord. The Lord's gaze comes towards us who are lost amidst the fetters of sin and death. Now, when people suffer a sudden and great misfortune, they often think, what big sins have I committed for these things to happen to me? And so people could have thought about the widow of today's text. What wrongs she must have committed to have suffered the death of her son on top of losing her husband. But if we look at John chapter 9, verse 3, as Jesus heals a person who was born blind, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So he was saying that a great misfortune that suddenly comes is not a result of sin, but it is like a stepping stone that reveals what God is doing. If we look at 1 Kings chapter 17, there is a story about Prophet Elijah reviving the only son of the widow of Zarephath, who was dead. It's a story that's very similar to today's story. Now, about this widow of Zarephath, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, ahead of today's text as follows. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Prophet Elijah revived the dead son of a foreign woman, the widow of Zarephath. Now Jesus is on his way to revive the dead son of one widow, an Israelite woman living in Nain. The Lord, who is the first to regard people who are unseen by others, felt compassion for her. The Greek word in verse 13, which has been translated as compassion, is splenxomai, which means one's insides are all twisted up. Jesus went to the widow first, feeling her pathos and sadness to the extent of having his insides all twisted up. Now, how is it possible for Jesus to feel her heart so deeply? It is because Jesus, the Son of Man, came to earth as a human being like us and lived as a poor carpenter in the village of Nazareth of Galilee, deep in the mountains. He knew the sadness and pains of people who have a hard life. Because Jesus cried out of his sadness for the death of Lazarus, we know well about his tears of sadness. The Lord not only regarded the widow, but had compassion for her. There is a saying that when you lose your parents, you bury them in the ground, but when you lose a child, you bury the child in your heart. The Lord knew the extreme pain and sadness that this woman, who had to see her only blood tie, her son, die ahead of her after suffering the loss of her husband. That was not all. The Lord had pity on the extreme poverty and loneliness that this woman would have to endure as she lived alone. Across all ages and societies, there are certain minimum mechanisms that are needed for a person to belong to his or her society and to the times. The society that Jesus lived in 2,000 years ago was an agrarian society, as well as a society built on family units. Therefore, a woman cannot carry on social economic activities properly as it is possible today. The minimum mechanism that a woman needed to belong and to be respected was a husband and children through a marriage. It's hard to understand from today's perspective, but that was the way people lived at such times. And then what about today? During our times, a woman can engage in social and economic activities as much as she wants. And the minimum condition to be respected in our society and to belong to our society is not a husband or a child. Then what is it? What's needed to belong and be respected in today's society is education. A person must complete at least a mandatory education required by the government in order to belong and to be respected in our society. Accordingly, for a woman to live alone after having lost her husband and her child at the time of Jesus is similar, if we were to speak in terms of our country in 2017, to a teenage girl who has to quit school without having completed a mandatory middle school education. If so, how difficult and hard such life must be like. Beloved congregation members, the Lord, who regards the crying widow and has compassion for her, regards the tears that we shed amidst the pains we encounter. When a child cries because he or she is sick or is having a hard time, there probably isn't any parents who says, "What are you crying about? So you are sick? You're hurt? You want some kind of a prize or what?" If we look at Psalm 56, verse 8, David wrote, "Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" It tells us that God thinks preciously of our tears that we shed in dependence on Him to the extent of collecting them in a bottle. There are tears of heads of household who have lost their jobs because of layoffs, worried about the future, shed without the family knowing. There are tears of young people shed amidst of continued rejections of job applications. There are tears shed before the Lord because one is unable to do anything about affairs of a spouse and domestic violence. There are tears of a mother who prays that a strange child will find a way and come back. There are tears shed in prayers for healing of a family member who is suffering from illness. There are tears shed out of longing and loneliness after having lost a beloved family member. It is the Lord who regards all these tears. The Lord tells the widow not to cry. We also speak words of comfort to people who cry. But our words of comfort does not have the power to change the painful reality. But we see that Jesus, after having told the widow not to cry, according to verse 14, went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." It says that Jesus touched the bier. In this kind of a casket, there is no cover. At the time, Jewish people cleaned and bound a dead person with cloth, but they carried them in a casket without a cover, similar to a stretcher. The Greek word hakto, which has been translated as touched, means to get hold of or to hold. In other words, Jesus did not lightly touch the bier. He took hold of it with his hands so that he could not go forward. During the time of the Old Testament, when a priest laid his hands on the sacrificial animal, like a lamb or a cow, the sins of the person making the offering was transferred to the animal, and the person's sins were forgiven. But There was one rule that the priest had to keep. According to chapter 21, verse 11 of the Leviticus, it is written, he must not enter a place where there is a dead body. He must not make himself unclean, even for his father or mother. The priest became unclean if they came near a dead body, even if it were the bodies of his mother or father. So they did not come near any dead body. However, Jesus, who is our eternal priest, got hold of the bier in which the dead body lay. It is an event which shows that Jesus transcends the law of the Old Testament and is the same being as God, who is above the law. When Jesus, who is our eternal priest and eternal life, took a hold of the bier, the life of Jesus was transferred to the dead man. And the Lord said, young man, I say to you, get up. And if we look at verse 15, it says that the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. In the same way that this young man was on the path of death before he met Jesus, as he lay dead in his bier, we were also people who were dead spiritually and were on the way of death. But in the same way that the Lord took hold of the bier in which the young man lay, transferred his life to him, and raised him up, the Lord took hold of us who are on the way of death, gave us eternal life, and made us be born again. Then is this event in today's text a miracle which is continuously repeated even at present? Of course, the event that the text tells us about cannot be repeated the same way. This event, it was like a sign that declared and showed that Jesus had power over death. This event shows us that the power of death cannot put up any resistance to the words of Jesus. And the events of Jesus reviving dead people are featured three times in the New Testament. Jesus revived the dead daughter of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and Lazarus. And he revived the dead son of the widow of Nain. The events in which the Lord revived dead persons also foretells of the resurrection of Jesus. Through the miracle in which the Jesus revives dead person, he's letting us know that Jesus himself will live again after his death on the cross. If we look at John 11, verses 25 to 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And also in Romans chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, it is said, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Jesus is not only the Lord of life, but he's also the Lord of both the dead and the living. The Lord lived again after 3 days and conquered death. Therefore, to those who believe in Jesus, there is no longer such thing as eternal death. Even if you had to send away your beloved husband, wife, children, or family member to God, they are living before the Lord. There was a man who graduated from Yale Law School and went to work for Chicago Tribune as a journalist. He was the youngest reporter to join the paper in the paper's history, and he soon became a recognized successful journalist. One day, as he was having dinner at a restaurant with his wife and his young daughter, his daughter choked on a piece of candy. They were faced with a life-threatening emergency. Fortunately, the young daughter was able to barely escape the emergency because of a black nurse who happened to be at the restaurant. When the wife thanked her and said they were really lucky, the nurse said, "It wasn't luck, it was Jesus." She said that she actually was going to a different restaurant, but felt that she had to come there. So after this day, the wife kept in touch with the black nurse and ended up attending her church And at last, she accepted Jesus Christ. But the husband, who was an atheist who did not acknowledge the existence of God, felt a sense of loss and betrayal, felt that he had lost his wife to this Jesus when his wife came to believe in Jesus. So he decided to find a way to get his wife back to the way she was. And he set out to prove scientifically that the resurrection of Jesus, which is the essence of Christian faith, was a fiction, in order to show that the Christian faith that she subscribed to was a lie. He met with a well-known historian and asked whether the testimonies of people about the resurrection of Jesus could be treated as objective evidence, given that these witnesses were all followers of Jesus. The historian answered that among such witnesses, there were people like Paul, who had persecuted people who believed in Jesus, but later gave up his life for the faith. He met a psychologist, who is an atheist, and asked whether the 500 or so witnesses who saw the resurrected Lord could have been under a group hypnosis. But the psychologist confirmed that a group hypnosis under which 500 persons have the same dream is simply impossible. He then met a doctor who also had a doctorate in engineering and asked whether it was possible for Jesus to have fainted rather than died on the cross. But the answer he heard was that the blood and water that came out from Jesus' sides was a sure result of a death by suffocation. So he tried to prove that the resurrection of Jesus was false in this way, but the more he dug into it, he saw how it was possible to prove Jesus' resurrection by scientific evidence. And so he at last opened his heart, accepted resurrection based on his reasoning, and came to receive Jesus as Christ. This story is a true story of Pastor Lee Strobel, based on whom the recently opened movie, Jesus' History, is based on. It is a story told in a book which became a bestseller and sold 40 million copies worldwide before this movie was made. Jesus, who died 2,000 years ago on the cross to pay for our sins and falls and lived again in 3 days, met even persons like Lee Strobel, who tried to prove that the resurrection of Jesus was false. He allowed him to be born again and change this life. When we look at verse 11 of today's text, he says that the disciples and many other people were with him when he traveled to the town of Nain. In verse 12, he says that many people were also in the funeral procession of the only son of the widow of Nain. In other words, there were many people who were with Jesus, who is the Lord of eternal life. And there were also many people in the town of Nain who were with the procession of death, which is under the power of death. There is a word called YOLO, which has become trendy today. It's an acronym meaning you only live once. It means that because you only live once, you must live a life so that you don't regret it. Today, too, there are many people who live the life on this earth, which is lived only once with the Lord, who is the master of eternal life. At the same time, there are numerous people who walk the path of death without knowing the Lord. The people, in order to live a life without regrets, sometimes make a bucket list, which is a list of things that they really want to do before dying. Traveling to a new place, an item which is always included in many people's bucket list. But a journey is different depending on whether you go alone or go with other people. And if you go with other people, the journey will be very different depending on whom you choose to go with. Beloved members of congregation, our life on earth is like a journey heading to the kingdom of God. If so, then who are we walking with in this life's journey? Who must we walk this journey with in order to live a life without regrets? This person is Jesus, the true guide and companion of our life's journey is Jesus. Beloved members of congregation, Jesus, who is our true guide and companion of our life's journey, is the Lord of life and the Lord of resurrection, who won over death and lived again in 3 days. Jesus, who sought out the widow of Nain, whose heart went out to her, and who restored a life, is the Lord who regards us today too, who deeply feels the pain of our lives and holds us with the power of life. I deeply hope that our gazes will rest on this Lord and that all of us will entrust our life's journey wholly to Him. Let us pray. Lord, you personally experienced extreme pain during the time you came to earth in flesh and died on the cross. Through the words today, we understand that the Lord is the first to regard us, comes to us, not only deeply feels the pain of our lives, but have His heart go out to us and holds us with power of life. Lord, because you are the Lord of life and resurrection, who won over death, which a man can never overcome, and lived again in 3 days, we entrust our life journey to you. Help us to live with our gazes directed towards you. I pray in the name of Jesus, who broke apart the power of death and lived again in 3 days. Amen. Amen.